Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Arts About. That is our fabulous theme. What's this show, John?
It's the show about art. It's a work of art in itself, Swan, and you're inhabiting not only the spot that would normally be filled by Brody,
yes,
but also, in a way, the spot that would normally be filled by Sally.
Yes, that's right. Sally's not here, and Brody has done a bunk.
Right.
And I've been called out of retirement.
What do you call it when it's no longer a double entendre? It's now a double act, I suppose, is it?
Yeah, that's me. Hmm. I'm Swan on. But I shall be henceforth known as the King of Arts About, if you don't mind. Pardon me. Now, I wanted to mention something before we get on to the show proper. Now, I know everybody moves on with all their media and TV is kind of redundant, but we all do like to just have a veg out every now and again, yeah?
Yeah.
You watch TV, John?
I do.
All right. Well, I can strongly recommend a fabulous new TV show called Bad Robots. And it's something very close to my heart because it's just all about the modern age and how nothing works.
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's in the good old tradition of the Stooge show, a bit like Candid Camera. But they got really good robots, like good machines. And, of course, they confuse people and don't cooperate. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So where am I going to see this?
I don't know. I can't remember where it's on.
It's on TV.
Look at that multitudinous guide thing that they have. Yeah. Now, the show. It's, as you know, John, it's International Women's Day, pardon me, on the 8th of March. And in celebration of that, we're going to have a great show up at Moth. You know about Moth?
I do know about Moth.
Yep. Music on the Hill.
Yep.
And we're going to get...
Lamps on the tables.
That's right. We're going to get Moth convener, Overlord, Robin Griffiths in, and he's bringing along one of the performers in the show, Tash Parker. So we can look forward to that a little later on. Have you got anything for us as artist in residence?
Oh, I'm going to take us out on a night out and maybe continue the double theme, Swan.
Yeah.
Well, I went on a night out some years ago and two things happened, both of which were extraordinary, on the same evening, and I'm going to talk about them. They involve a human shish kebab and a human...
Poor old John. I'm sure, No, we'll have a little chat off air about, you know, certain expressions and how they change.
And
over
something
the
I've
years.
Mentioned to you in the past.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
The man in flames.
Flambé.
Flambé.
Fantastic. All right. I think that's enough of me. So why don't we just get on with the show? And oh, no, we've got to mention that Cliff's coming in. Is he coming in? He better come in. We've got no Brody, no Sally. Cliff's got to come in.
Well, perhaps you could do Cliff as well.
Yeah. All right. No, Cliff is coming on and no doubt he's got lots to say about nothing. All right. Because it's International Women's Day on the 8th of the 3rd and because Moth are doing a show in celebration and it's an all-girl lineup, I thought I'd remind everybody of John Lennon's very timely words with this fantastic, fabulous song he wrote, I don't know when, but it's a beauty. That was John Lennon, Woman is the Nigger of the World. And I played that song, as I said, because we are celebrating International Women's Day on the 8th of the 3rd. And so too is Moth. And we have Robin Griffiths from Moth. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Swanee.
And performer Tash Parker. Good morning, Tash.
Good morning.
Off, while we were listening to John there, sorry, I heard Tash say that she'd written 50 songs in a week.
No.
Oh.
One a week. A couple of weeks off last year, yeah.
Nice work. Now, before I ask you about the event up there at Moth, Robin, I thought we'd better just have a chat because we've got Tash right here with us now. And because I'm not crazy about the kind of the rock interview kind of format, can we just start with a tiny bit of background? Like, where did you grow up? I always like to know that.
Ah, well, I can tell you where I grew up. In Kununurra in the northeast Kimberley.
I know Kununurra.
You do?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Ord River country.
The Ord River, yeah. I grew up on the Ord River.
Beautiful.
So, yeah. And then fast forward many years, moved to Melbourne.
Yep.
Fast forward again. We're here, sitting in the studio.
And you live on the peninsula now?
No, I have a home on the peninsula, but I'm actually living in Melbourne now because I'm studying fine art at RMIT, so the commute's a bit too hectic.
No, but that's good. That's becoming a rarer thing to have a holiday house, isn't it, John?
I wouldn't know. I've never had a holiday house.
Yeah, but more and more people
live in the houses.
I've never had a holiday.
Yeah, I live in a holiday house permanently.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my life, in fact, is a holiday. What were your musical influences, Tash? I know it's a daggy sort of question, but
that's a rock and roll question.
Yeah,
it is a rock and roll question.
No, but I like it because many, many people talk about the LPs that they kind of dragged out of their dad's stereo or whatever. What did you listen to when you were growing up?
Well, I think that, yeah, when you were saying were my musical influences, mm-hmm. I think the important factor is that I'm constantly influenced by music and new music particularly. But in terms of what I grew up with, Dad did have records. One of my favourite records that I used to put on was Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Beautiful.
By Simon and Garfunkel.
And I know a little story about that. You know that beautiful... They were snow chains in the back room.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the Wrecking Crew backed that, of course.
Yeah.
The very famous Wrecking Crew that you'd know about, Robin.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Best studio band in the world. And they just needed that extra sort of...
warmth.
So the drummer, Hal Blaine, snuck into the storeroom, got a bunch of snow chains and whacked them on the concrete floor.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know many little stories like that.
Bits of apocryphy.
Yeah, Sally will be rolling
it
her eyes.
It sort of ruins the poetic visual that song gives you, though.
Yeah, but like, it's creative as well.
It's very creative.
And in The Boxer, lay the light, that's a snare drum at the bottom of a lift well in New York. The echo.
Spectacular.
Look, I know you're a big fan of the future, Tash. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to... Oh, you didn't tell me. What oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Simon and Garfunkel. We will fast forward right to now and right to what you're doing right now. And you are in, let me see, the Lady Choir.
Yes, I'm in a choir called Lady Choir, which started last year. And... there are six of us. Probably the most recognisable names in the choir would be Angie Hart and Sophie Coe. People might have heard of
Angie
them.
Hart, ex Fronte.
Fronte, yeah.
Yes, front of Fronte.
we've just been working on our repertoire. We're actually going to be playing our first little show at the Brunswick Library on March 18th, which will be really fun.
So freshly hatched, the choir.
Yeah, yep. We've been really only started sort of last year and we haven't set ourselves out in the public eye or ears yet. So
before you're snatched up by the choir, Robin has gathered you together. Robin, you've formed this lineup for Moth.
That's right. As you said, it's all female.
Yep.
So we've got four artists appearing. Tash will be one of a trio that will be up on the stage to start the evening, and they're going to do a set, what we call In the Round, in the folk music industry.
Yep, just like Michael Jackson said.
They just do it.
On the floor.
They'll do a song each.
Tell
alternately,
a little tale.
Not alternately, that's not right, you can't have alternately with three.
Consecutively.
They'll tell a story, introduce the song, and then the other two will listen.
That's a good story behind the song or just a story?
Yeah, well, see, I don't know. I think I'm in two minds about that. Sometimes I love it when people tell a story about what the song's about. But if it's a story-style song, then sometimes they give away the punchline before they sing it. So I think it depends on...
Don't tell it twice, yeah.
Yeah, don't tell it. Just sing it once.
And just
well.
Tell a really neat story.
Yeah.
I remember quickly I saw Leonard Cohen years ago when he was, you know, in his lull before I'm Your Man and all that. He was just... famous Leonard Cohen from the 60s, at the Palais, about from here to there from me, and he told the story of Chelsea Hotel, the whole thing, and how he was in the lift and this mad flurry of a cyclone of a woman burst in and she said, I'm looking for Kris Kristofferson. I've heard he's fantastic in bed. I want to grab hold of Kris Kristofferson. Do you know who Kris Kristofferson is? It was Janis Joplin, of course. And Leonard just looked at it and said, lady, I'm Kris Kristofferson. Anyway, carry on. See, that's a good story, isn't it?
That is a good story.
Yeah.
And, you don't get any of that from the actual song.
So you're telling a story, singing a song.
Yeah.
And then the Sally...
Well, the other artists that are appearing with
yep.
Tash are a young lady from Melbourne, also from Melbourne, called Eunice Clare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who I met the other day, actually. Oh, lovely. We might have sneakily got together to plot musical things behind your back.
Oh, a bit of rehearsed spontaneity. That's what we do here. Yeah, I love it.
And the third lady is Jessie Lloyd, who's a very talented singer-songwriter also. But they've all got completely different styles, so it'll make it very interesting. Have you contacted Jessie?
Yep, we've been in e-contact. Oh, I've actually been away for 3 months in Central America, so I'm just hitting the ground and trying to catch up with everybody in time for the show.
I've got a pertinent question. Have you rehearsed? Kind of. You're so professional, you'll just know on the night.
Yes.
It's going to be a surprise, is it?
There'll be some surprises for you, but not for us.
Yeah.
It's all right, I'm just finding out where I am. And the other.
So, yes, the headliner is Sally Seltman. Some people also known as New Buffalo.
One of my greatest influences, actually. When Robin sent me the email, he'd been contacting me for about 12 months saying, when are you coming down to play a Moth gig? And I think he actually just reeled me in. He's like, so I've got Sally playing. I'm like, yes, I'm in.
So you dangled the bait. So it's Simon and Garfunkel and Sally Seltman. We're there, straight up to the present.
Yeah.
So Sally, I saw in the notes that she wrote some famous song called, is it that?
One,
is that
two, the one, two, three, four. Tell me that you love me more.
Yep.
Yeah. With Feist.
With Feist, with Leslie
good.
Feist.
It's not that awful Woolworths song. That's good.
So I sent Sally an email. I had a moment with a couple of glasses of wine. I thought, I'm just going to send emails to everybody that I want to play at Moth.
Absolutely.
Did you have a sort of an all-female idea?
No, this was a while ago, before the International Women's Day idea. Right. And I just sent out, 15 emails to somewhere ridiculous, like Nick Cave or... And Nick Cave's...
Did Nick Cave get back to you?
I'm just going to say, when's
Nick
playing?
Nick Cave has a booking agent online that says, if you're serious, it's $1 million.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, but Sally responded straight away and she said, oh, this looks interesting. I'd be happy to play. I've got these dates available.
And Sally's fee is slightly less.
Slightly less, yeah. We might have a whip round on the night.
It's perfect timing, though, because she's just released a really beautiful EP. I was listening to it on the drive
down.
That's
right. And this was almost a year ago. And so Sally's coming back. Just to play Moth, and she's arranged this tour and EP around playing at Red Hill.
And you describe this EP as what?
Oh, so this morning I was trying to think of, visual and other sensory ways to describe music, because I find that that's helpful.
Yes.
And it was like having fairy bread for breakfast. But, of course, Swanee's like... gross, and I was like, no, fairy bread is delicious and colourful and fun and sweet.
And it's got butter on the bottom as well.
Oh, yeah. Real butter too. Yeah.
That taste that we all know on the fresh white bread.
But perhaps it's kind of a little bit fancy, so maybe it's on like a really nice sourdough, so it's a little bit healthy.
Fairy bread on sourdough, I'm getting that sort of...
It's very varietal. No, it's a good metaphor.
It's got to be milk loaf, like
it is a good metaphor. It's very, it is very sweet. Sweet. Yeah. On the ear. Sally also is one third of Seeker Lover Keeper, which is Sarah Blasco and Holly Throsby.
Golly. Mm.
So they had a very successful album out a couple of years ago. So she'll probably do one or two tracks from that, I would have thought. So I sent Sally an email saying... are you going to fly down from Sydney or are you going to drive?
Yeah.
Because I knew she was based in Sydney. She goes, oh, no, I live in Los Angeles. She's coming from LA.
So you're paying for biz air both ways.
Yeah, that was in... I'd missed the small print, so we are going to have a whip round, I think.
Yeah. I haven't got that much on me.
She's
in
LA. Mm.
Wow. And she's coming all the way to Red Hill.
Yes.
I hope she stays long enough to see the market or something.
Well, we always put our artists up.
We
always accommodate our artists, and we've got two or three people that come to Moth that have these amazing houses overlooking the bay, and artists are very spoilt. So yeah. I think that's one of the reasons they want to come.
I think I shot myself in the foot letting you know that I lived in Summers because I always have to go home.
And your house is one of the houses that he's offered. Yeah. So you'll be putting Twisted Sister up, I think, from LA as well. Before we run out of any measure of time, and we'll come back and we'll talk about, and we'll let people know when this actual show is on, why don't we listen to one of Tasha's beautiful songs now that we're in the Holiday House Peninsula mood?
Mm.
And this one, Tash.
It's where I wrote it.
It feels like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I live now, kind of. It's great. And this one is called Summers. How beautiful and pensive was that? That was
lovely,
a beautiful
work.
Song.
You know, kind of a golden palette, you know, sort of those sorts of songs. Is that what we can expect coming up?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I feel like I still write in a very folk fashion. I released my last album in 2010, so it's been a little bit of time in between, and I've become a painter since then, so I do tend to talk in visual terms.
Well, this is an art show.
Yeah, I'm just covering all my bases.
We'll have you back in your other manifestation.
Yeah, my other life. But, yeah, no, the new stuff that I'm doing is actually quite a lot more electronic. I think at Moth I'm going to be performing acoustically, and I've got some new songs that I'm going to be sharing. So I'll be doing acoustic versions of some new things, but I'm working with a producer out of Brisbane at the moment who does some much more electronic kind of stuff. But he's also an animator, so we talk in visuals. And
hundreds and thousands. And you just say, look, just sprinkle
a bit. I haven't actually added any hundreds and thousands to my music yet, but I'm going to text him as soon as I get out of here.
Beautiful work. Synesthesia, I believe it's called, correct, Joan?
Yep.
Now, Robin, we better remind everybody about this fabulous show. When is it on?
It's on Friday, the 4th.
Mm-hmm. Of March.
Of March. At the Red Hill Pavilion, and it's hosted by the Red Hill Cricket Club. And doors are 7, and Tash, etc., will be coming on about 7:45.
Lovely. Yeah.
Excellent.
When you've got everybody blathered on that, you know.
That's right.
Beer.
It's all local beers and wines. We've got some tasty food available. And tickets and information are available from musiconthehill.com.au. And everything's up on there. We've also got a YouTube channel now, so you can check that out if you go to YouTube. It's Music on the Hill Moth. And we got some beautiful videos shot by my mate Paul Higgs. Do you know Paul?
No. Yeah. John knows him.
Have a look at those.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thanks very, very much for coming in. I loved how we just settled into a very gentle, lovely chat.
Thank you, Tash.
Thank you for having me.
And
good to be back.
We should tell everybody Tash was going to perform live, but she's got a bad voice today.
Yeah, well, catch an aeroplane and you wind up with a cold.
Yes.
It makes my voice great for radio, though, don't you think?
It sure does. Husky. She's saving... It does, there it is. She's saving it all for Moth.
Yeah.
The Mothman prophecy. Hey, thanks very much, everybody, for coming in, and we will see you there. And now it's time for...
John On.
Yes, John. Hey, wait a sec. We can do that live. And now it's time for... John.
Thank you, Swanee.
Hey, that went well with the gang from the Mothman Prophecy,
well,
Moth on the Hill.
They're relaxed and charming people.
I've asked them to send a bat signal up to the clouds.
Moth signal, I think.
Yeah, moth signal to guide me because I get a bit scared, those windy Red Hill roads.
Yeah.
No, it's all very lovely. You should get along.
I came over that way, actually, today.
Did you?
Across the hill, yeah.
The scenic route.
Yeah, just for a pleasant drive.
Yeah, they let you out. What's this, a day pass, is it? Now, what are we talking about? You started on this passé double theme.
Yeah. An evening out, which involved two extraordinary occasions, which I thought I'd relate. The first was I went out one night to see a very well-known circus. A kind of, you know, one of those new modern theatrical circuses where they don't have animals or anything, but they have lots of acts and they do it either in theatres or in tents or that sort of thing.
You're sort of, what do you call it? Your Spiegel tent sort of thing.
Yeah, well, sometimes in a tent, sometimes in a theatre, this particular evening in a theatre. And I was seated as I sat down. I looked over my shoulder and there behind me and just above... was the cannon for the human cannonball. And every good circus should have a cannonball.
Absolutely. You can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You can settle the elephants down, but you can't throw out the cannon.
No.
Retire the elephants.
During the performance, they sort of alerted us to the human cannon about, human cannonball about to be fired. And as I said, just above me and behind me. And something went wrong, Swan. Something went wrong with the cannon. And I discovered later that what happens with the cannon.
Can I ask just as a bit of a fun? It didn't tip down like in the Bugs Bunny cartoon.
No.
All right.
What happens is that the cannonball stands on a little platform within.
The human cannonball.
Yeah.
Let's get that straight. This is a person they're going to shoot out of the big barrel.
A person in a red and orange zigzagged jumpsuit.
Nice.
Yeah.
Captain Thunderbolt.
He stands on a little platform within the cannon, and there's a like a pneumatic rod that forces the platform forwards.
Stop. We've all got imaginations, John. Yes. Oh, my God.
And on this occasion, the platform split in two and or broke off somehow, and the rod thrust forward, getting the human cannonball in the upper thigh and up in between his suit and his back, and left him dangling out of the cannon, like on the end of this rod.
Skewed on a rod.
Looking very much like a human shish kebab.
And can I speak for everybody listening out there as well?
Right.
It could have been worse.
It could have been a lot worse. Seriously worse. A little bit of bruising and grazing, I'm told, was all that resulted in that. But the audience, oddly, burst out laughing, assuming that this was part of the comedy side of the whole.
Yeah, and that, of course, is the godsend of show business. They all think it's in the act.
Because I was sitting just under and next to,
I
was one of the first to hear his low moans.
Because, look, let's be honest, it probably grazed a testicle or two, don't you reckon?
It may well have, but he wasn't in good shape.
No, because this is a pneumatic rod, probably, what, 60 PSI or something?
Well, able to hurl a grown man across a crowd and onto a stage.
See, I've seen that act work, and what happens, because you don't know, is they shoot the guy out, and he heads to the stage, and he sticks to the wall.
Oh.
Yeah. The human fly.
Right.
And he's all the front of his thing is Velcro.
Right.
And it's a great surprise because everybody gasps in horror as he hurtles towards the curtain.
Where is he going to end up?
In the middle of the pros and then he sticks to the curtain.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't make it that far this night.
No.
Once everyone realised that there was an issue of some sort, there was a bit of scurrying around and some fellas came out and helped him down, and they got on with the show in very sort of brave theatrical ways. Sort of, let's get on with the show. And he's all right, ladies and gentlemen, I think was sort of mentioned at one stage. But I went to the after party.
Yeah, because we are doing Passe Doble, aren't we? Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And at the after party, as you can imagine, the conversation was largely about the human shish kebab.
Yeah, or Testicle Ted, as he was known.
Testicle Ted. And I got a bit sick of that. So I started relating this story about a friend of mine and myself filling a pair of shoes with sawdust and setting fire to the sawdust, putting the shoes outside a busy shop in a busy shopping centre on a Saturday morning. And
can I put my hand up again?
Yeah.
Was this to give the effect of somebody had been vaporised in their shoes?
Yes.
Right.
We sat over the road.
By a death ray,
well,
perhaps.
Just spontaneous combustion was what I was aiming for.
Nice.
And we went over the road, sat at a cafe and watched people's surprise, alarm, various other reactions to a pair of smoking shoes on the footpath outside the post office.
This is a bit like Bad Robot, but sort of just with shoes.
Yeah. I haven't seen Bad Robot.
Yeah, so Bad Shoes.
I'll be watching that.
Bad Shoes doesn't have a lot of legs, does it?
These ones had no legs
at all.
That's
right. I fed you there, John. That's showbiz.
And that conversation, of course, led to the point of that little act, which was spontaneous combustion, and which Do you remember Spontaneous Combustion? There was
Spontaneous Combustion was huge. It was as nearly as famous as Kangaroo Paw, or what they used to call RSI. It just swept the world.
Yeah.
And people were spontaneously combusting everywhere. Mm. And before you tell your bit, I know that they finally worked out that the science was something called the wick effect.
The wick effect.
And people fall asleep, drunk, whatever. Mm. They catch on fire and their body acts like tallow. And they burn. Like
well, we are largely fat, aren't we?
Yeah, very slowly. Mm. That's why they leave this kind of weird trace. But
a greasy mark on the ground.
I believe you witnessed.
Well, at the party, in fact, there was a group of us standing there talking about spontaneous. We were talking about spontaneous combustion, having a conversation about
it. Yes.
And one of the fellow that I was standing next to, in fact, suddenly burst into flames. And up he went in flames. Well, not up suddenly, but the clothing he was wearing went up in flames. He was sporting a kind of an Afro hairdo.
That'll do it. Michael Jackson reference number two.
Yeah. With may have been greased a bit to attract the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And that went up like a tumbleweed.
Went up like Ted Kennedy's chest hair.
Yeah, yep. You could hear the oxygen burning around his head.
Good Lord.
And so we all started throwing glasses of champagne at him. And what it interested me that as the champagne was working a little bit, but not completely, someone realised we weren't going to get him completely out. Mm. So they ran and got more champagne, not some water.
Or, as you're meant to do, a blanket or something.
And roll him on the floor.
Roll him on the ground.
We did get him on the floor, but we continued the champagne.
Was he? Wowee, that is a very exciting. That's a wild story.
Yeah, he actually, in fact, was standing a little close to the fire, as it turns out.
Yeah, but still, they say that reality is informed by your history.
Right.
And you were talking about it, expecting it, and bang, that's what it was.
The astounding part for me was it was mid-conversation about spontaneous combustion, that someone should burst into flames was really quite surprising.
Well, that's amazing. And you heard me use the key word wild, didn't you, John?
Wild.
I said that was a wild story because that leads into our feature song.
Okay, what's that?
Well, I thought I'd just celebrate David Bowie just died.
Right.
Of course, Lou went before him. And then before that, there was Andy. They were three great buds. Yeah. So I just thought I'd play the absolute classic.
Just before you do.
Yeah.
Lou Reed, you know, he had a liver transplant just before he died.
Yes.
Imagine having a, like, your liver in Lou Reed.
Yeah. Your liver would walk on the wild side.
It would.
Yeah, you'd really know you'd livered.
Is that what we're
you?
Living? Or is that what we're playing? Wild
That's
side?
It. Yeah. So,
I saw Cliff walking around out
there. Yeah, yeah. We'll grab him in a sec. But this is the absolute classic from our childhood, is it not? How fantastic is
Mike's
Lou Reed? Mics are on. I might add before we introduce our next guest is that the 3 months I spent at university was completely taken up with listening to that album.
Really?
Yep. That's all I did. That's why I know every single word. Now, sitting to my left, usually sits right in front of me, is elder statesman, journalist, theatre critic, commentator, and two-pot screamer at the Rye RSL, Cliff...
Ellen.
I nearly called you Cliff Young.
No.
Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning, Swanee. Good morning, John.
G'day, Cliff.
Just us two.
No, there's three of us here.
Us three.
Oh. Yeah, don't count me. I'm the monkey
it's
on the panel.
Strange, isn't it?
Oh, 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 oh.
Deserted studio.
Yeah, it's great though, isn't it? It's all us. Oh, I forgot to bring in my props. I was going to bring in two bottles of Corona and drop them on the floor.
Yeah, pizza packets.
It's interesting. Last week I talked about Here Come the Habibs and Molly.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they were the top two watch shows on television.
Is that because they're successfully promoted?
Well, that's a question I ask myself.
I think that's an excellent question, John. I think that is why.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think it's promotion, or do you think that it's because it's on free-to-air and people just venture to these spots?
I hardly watch TV, and I was pummeled with the Habibs all across summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Jack Irish came in about number 10, so that, something.
That is a great show.
But
Jack.
I mean, it's strange. They're both such terrible shows, and they're the top two watched shows. So, yeah, it's money, I suppose. And
well, one has to wonder about the theory that the most watched shows are the best. I mean, there is, you know, perhaps the most watched are merely the most mediocre.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, you could connect it up too with a belief by some people that 80% of the general public are pretty stupid anyway.
8%?
80.
Oh, 80.
Yeah, yeah.
You could. I don't know, they all went to White Night last
Well, you know,
week, didn't
of
they?
Course, that half of the population has lower than 50%, has lower than average IQ, doesn't they?
Yeah, it doesn't seem so when I'm out there amongst them. They all seem pretty switched on. And
but they have to by...
Oh, yeah, of course.
By virtue of mathematics.
Yeah, yeah. Mathematics. Well, look, you, John, you didn't hear Cliff mention White Nights. The
White Nights, they all went to that. The great, go to Beijing or Hong Kong. It's on every night.
Yeah, the great arts extravaganza. Yeah, go to Las Vegas.
Yeah. Go so to Monaco. Do you know in Monaco they don't have any coloured cars? They only have black or grey or silver. Fair you don't see any coloured cars over in Monaco.
Is it a rule or
another
just
fascination?
Is that a rule, as John
no,
said?
No, I think they're all rich and they just buy those cars. Who knows?
Yeah.
There's no answer to that one.
Did you go to White Nights, Cliff?
No, of course not. Why would I go and look around at buildings lit up?
Yeah, nor me. Wherever the crowd's at, I'm not.
No.
So not enough to attract you? We're going to turn the lights on?
That's it, man.
No, there's nothing to attract me about that sort of thing.
I heard someone describe it as a 12 hours of after the footy crowd in the city.
Yeah.
You know, if you leave the MCG, the city's full of people all trying to get home.
Yeah.
It was crowds. Like that for 12 hours.
A dress rehearsal for hell.
Right.
Mm. Well, it might be an idea then at this particular stage to recommend to all you people out there in listening land that you might... Perhaps give the two main theatres, which are the Malthouse and the Melbourne Theatre Company, a bit of a rest and try the other three theatres because very few people try them. They're, what have we got? We've got La Mama, which is in Faraday Street. We've got Theatre Works, which is in Ackland Street. And we've got Red Stitch, which I think is in Chapel Street.
Windsor. Yep, just off Chapel Street.
Yeah, so just a bit of a recommendation that, you know, you want to try these venues because it's something different and might be good for you. I always think you see some really good stuff, but there's a lot of luck involved, of course.
Bit of diversity. Do you like that atmosphere, though, the peripheral sort of fringy?
Not over keen on Red Stitch. It's sort of, you know, melodramatic stuff. I like natural performance.
A lot of yelling and screaming. What is that theatre called? The Brechtian thing, the epic theatre. They've got a name for it. Is it non-realistic or something? Non-something.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to follow
up. Yeah, a lot of scaring the audience.
We get the Green Room Awards. The nominations are out, which is the best production in theatre companies. MTC's Birdland, The Boy at the Edge and of Everything and North by Northwest. Red Stitch has theatre got Jurassica and Malthouse, I Am a Miracle. The independent theatres, which I just mentioned, Northcote Town Hall, Dream Home and Theatre Works, The Back Eye, dominate the nomination. Six each, those two. And Best Production.
That's The Back Eye, is it, Cliff?
Yeah, well, right. B-A-C-C-H-A-E, I don't know.
Bacchus.
Mm.
Yeah.
And Best Productions, Shit's mentioned, which is good. That was the Mama one.
It's always good to get a swear word in.
Heart and the Fag Stag. Best Musicals, Loving Repeating, Strictly Ballroom, West Side Story, City of Angels, and, of course, Cats.
I'm voting for West Side Story. Donna and me, we used to love that. When you're a jet, you're a jet all the way.
The Green Room Awards started off in my time. It's just about half a dozen little people voting.
You won the first one,
now,
didn't you, Cliff?
Huge. Now I've never been nominated, nor would I ever be nominated. And if I was nominated, I wouldn't turn up.
I'd accept the award on your behalf.
Well, you know,
And you might be nominated. You can't defend yourself against being nominated by just saying you wouldn't be.
Yeah, that's John. John has that all the time.
People. No, well, I probably wasn't good enough, but it's a hard game, you know, theatre.
It is a very hard game.
Television theatres, you know, 50% of people are very ambitious. They've got to have a skin like an elephant. Mm. You've got to take the barbs. And you can't even tell who are the ambitious ones and who are the nice ones. It takes a while.
They should have a crit tester. Read it. If it's positive, I want to hear it. If it's negative, I don't want to hear it.
I should mention the Marilyn Monroe exhibition at the Bendigo Gallery, March the 5th to July the 10th.
Road trip.
It's got everything. It really has. It's even got a big statue of Norma Baker of Marilyn Monroe, which is, you know?
Yep.
And it's got all the clothes and everything. I will go up and have a look at it.
Yeah, the director up there is a really interesting person, I think. Right. And she's had all sorts of shows coming and going, including sort of undergarment exhibitions and now Marilyn Monroe.
All right, definitely a road trip. We're going in the Port Palkin. You'll have to sit in the back, Cliff, all right, because of your vomiting problem.
Yeah.
But John's up front. He's in charge.
In the smoking section.
I don't sit anywhere.
He's in charge of the cassette deck.
Right. And
just the last thing about Marilyn Monroe, she was just a fantastic actress.
Yeah,
what
she
a
was.
Find. Mm. A great comedic actress.
Yeah, well, they've got 20 original costumes up there and access, I think, to 12 of the films. You know, so it's quite a show. Mm. Strong recommendations to try it. If I'm going to Bendigo, I must really like it.
We should nick up there to Bendigo. We could, and is that, I believe that's where the Lowell Motel is, isn't it? Or is it the Shaller up there?
I know the Hotel California is en route.
Right.
Yeah, but we don't want to check in there because we can never leave.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's right. I watched my favourite film again last night for about the 12th time. But there's nothing on
Come
television.
On, what is it?
Humphrey Bogart.
Which one?
Casablanca.
Ah.
It is nice. Oh, have you noticed at the end the toy aeroplanes in the scene? If you're alerted to it, you can see them.
No, I didn't notice.
Little models in the background.
Well, you know, you can't take your eyes off the female. What's her
beautiful
name?
Ingrid Bergman.
Ingrid Bergman.
And she shocked the world, of course, with her Swedish ways. And I'll say no more. But she was a very, very beautiful woman.
Well, Cliff, everybody's got those ways. Julius Caesar played up with about 10 wives that I know of.
Yeah, Calpurnia just sat home and did the knitting.
Mm. So Casablanca's presumably up there with Gorky Park.
It's better. It's my favourite show, Casablanca.
Gorky Park, good book, crappy film. Not bad film, I suppose.
Peter Lorre's Sydney Green, so it's got the works.
Mm. Chris.
Cliff,
Vic.
Cliff, yes.
Cliff.
What am I doing today? Nothing.
What are you doing this afternoon with Ingrid Bergman in your imagination?
Nothing in particular.
All right. Now, Brendan, the station manager, there's a mention and there's a prize. He's chosen a song for you. It's called Pawn Shop by the Brothers Osborne.
Oh, I can't.
And if you don't like it, we'll tune down and get onto the news a bit
Pawn
later.
As in secondhand or pawn as in P-O-R-N?
Yeah, pawn as in the pawnbroker with Rod Steiger. So just have a listen to this and enjoy. Once again, thank you very much, Cliff Allen, for coming in. Your view from the cliff is valuable to us all.
Mm.
Nice to see you, Cliff.
See
you. Oh, that's a bit abrupt. I'll come in slowly. No, can't do it. We'll just
imagine.
We'll do it let's do it the old fashioned way. And
here is the art news.
Yep, that'll do.
Yep.
I think you didn't sabotage the typewriter, did you, in order to make that noise?
No, it's sitting there right there, but for some reason it ain't doing much. But that's fine because we've really kind of run very close to our time.
28th of Feb.
I blame it on my amateur.
That'll be today, this afternoon.
Yep.
There are three artists talking up at the MPRG. They've got a bar going up there and... That'll be pretty interesting. I don't know about the sentient, quiet conversation with an artist about their own work, and the open bar will be an interesting mix.
Yeah, I might be swinging past that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're not going to jump on the tandem bike and nick over there?
Nah.
Fair enough.
We've got to mention that we've just been speaking to the great people from Moth, and that is on Friday, March the 4th, with Sally Seltman, Eunice Clare, Jesse Lloyd, and the fabulous Tash Parker, who is our new best friend.
Yeah.
Because she is what we call in the radio business a live one.
I can see her out there eating those.
Yeah, cinnamon. But I didn't tell her that the Lamingtons were from the other day.
Okay. Land of the Golden Fleece, which is a collection of Arthur Streeton paintings, on at the Geelong Gallery, the gorgeous Geelong Gallery.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Paintings of the Western District, and that's worth going to just because the galleries are worth going
to.
Yeah,
we'll do a swinging road trip. We'll kind of swing past Bendigo, cross on the ferry, do something, but we'll do them all in one day, and we'll tire poor old Cliff out.
Hey, up through the Golden Plains in a memorial journey.
John?
Yes.
I've got to tell everybody they've been listening to Arts About.
Oh, okay, we're there already, are we?
Oh, no, that's... Well, we can go out on that theme. Sorry, Sally. Yes, you've been tuning into Arts About. You can catch us on podcast through the station website. And that's about all from us. But there's one thing I've got to say. We don't know much about art.
But we do know what we like.
We do know what we like.